This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with our seventh podcast on trout fishing throughout the season. I'm giving you this on December the 27th. What I'm going to talk about today is the medium to larger size streams. I'm going to start with what I find in Virginia from the middle of April on into the 1st of June. Now, when I say the medium size stream, I'm talking about streams the size of the Beaver Kill, Penn's Creek, O'Connell FD up in New Hampshire. That would be the Androscoggin. So these would be many of the larger streams we'd find here in the East Coast. Now, you'll have to adjust this time period to your individual water, but this is what I find in Virginia from the middle of April to the 1st of June. Now, we've got a lot of things going for us at this time. Usually we have good water temperatures and good water levels. This is going to prompt the hatches. It's also going to prompt the trout to feed pretty actively. So let's start in the middle of April and see what's happening here with the insects. Now, we talked about having the quill gordons and the blue quills earlier. We still have those on by the middle of April, and these are good hatches. They're heavy hatches, and many times, especially on a stream like the Jackson here in Virginia, you'll have real good hatches of quill gordons coming off throughout the evening, and then, of course, the spinners come back about dark. You can fish the nymphs on this, too. The Mr. Apidan beadhead nymph and the quill gordon nymph are excellent patterns to use along the side. Fish them in the corners below the riffles. The Lissering lift, which we mentioned earlier, which is sort of pulling that fly up off the bottom to make it act like an emerging fly. Actually, this is what I designed the Mr. Apidan emerger to be. The quill gordon is one of the few mayflies that comes off. As it comes off the stream bottom, he's got his wings popped and he's ready to fly. Most of the mayfly nymphs have the wings under the wing pad, but the quill gordon, Epis pluralis, has his wings ready out and ready to go. So the Mr. Apidan emerger is a very effective pattern for that, below the riffles, along the sides, that kind of thing. You can use that Listering lift very effectively on that, because that's really what the trout see. If you don't know what the Listering lift is, you're casting it up into the faster water as it drifts on down into the water that you feel is going to hold the trout. The feeding station right there in front of you, as it approaches that primary feeding station, you just lift your rod slowly to make that emerger swim up off the bottom right in front of the trout, because that's what he's used to seeing on this hatch. The blue quill, we still have a lot of blue quills by the middle of April. Sometime along the sides of the stream, you'll see these flies just kind of walk out on the rocks to get away rather than pop their wings and come out. You'll see them kind of waddle over to the sides and get out, especially if you have cold air temperatures. They just can't seem to get away. The blue quill is a very fragile fly. If you ever look at the nymphs, you'll just wonder how in the world he survives the way he does. But streams that have southern exposures, you can get some real heavy blue quill hatches this time of the year. And the good fly to match that would be the little blue quill nymph and the blue quill dry, both in about a size 16. On the Mr. Apidan, we use that a whole lot to match that quill gordon hatch, and we also use the regular quill gordon dry fly. I like a size 14. I used to use some 12s on that, on the quill gordon hatch, but I've kind of gotten to where I use mostly size 14, both in the quill gordon and in the Mr. Apidan for that hatch. Now, overlapping these two hatches, by the middle of April, we get the March Brown. Now, this is a fantastic hatch. It's probably the largest heavy hatch we get. It's a big fly. They're as heavy on the stream as a quill gordon, and he's considerably bigger than the quill gordon. So this is a very worthwhile hatch, and overlapping the other two, the trout, in many cases, will take any one of the three that comes down the tube. One time I was high up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, crawled in beside a great big boulder, and the trout were out there sipping all three of them in. So I don't think they discriminate. They're going to eat whenever they can eat, because now, again, we've got good water temperature. What am I calling good water temperatures? Probably in the mid-40s. And for brook trout, this is go, go, go. Now, the March Brown, Stenonema vicarium, does sort of a squirrely thing when he's getting ready to hatch. He may live in the stream bottom all the time throughout the year. on the rocks out in the middle of the stream. But come hatching time, he undergoes what I call a mini migration. He'll move over to the side of the stream, get under those boulders, work around the side in water. Now we're talking about water maybe 2 feet deep. And he'll actually hatch in some of that water. Some of the heaviest hatchels will be in that water about 2 feet deep along the side. My fishing buddy William Downey really isn't into entomology. He could care less about that. He just likes to catch fish. And one day we were fishing a little mountain stream, and after we got back together that evening, Downey said, "Well, did you see all those fish working over on the side?" He said, "I couldn't tell what they were fishing on, whether they were taking tries or nymphs." He says, "I took some on each of the two." Well, what those fish were doing were moving out on the side and actually taking both the nymphs right underwater and then taking the dries on the surface. The way I fish those nymphs is upstream dead drift. I put a scientific anchor indicator about 3 feet above the fly and then one about 6 feet above the fly, and I just cast it up above the area I see some of those trout working. And if they're really locked into the nymphs, that's probably the best tactic. I must admit, however, though, I do use the March Brown dry fly or the Mr. Rapidan dry fly in most cases here to see if they'll go for that, because it's just simply a lot easier. But if I'm going to fish the nymphs, I'll use the Murray's Bright Butt Leader, taper down to about 9 foot down to about 5X, and then I'll put an SA indicator 3 feet above it and then the second one 6 feet above it, and that way I can always see the strike no matter what depth I'm getting. The upper Schoharie has some fantastic March Brown hatches. If you've never fished that part, this was one of Art Flick's favorite places. That's how I got onto it. This was one of Art's favorite. The whole Schoharie was, for that matter. But terrific March Brown hatches up in there, and I've had outstanding fishing. Now, overlapping the March Brown, a little bit after the Blue Quill and the Quill Gordon, but overlapping the latter part of the March Brown, you get the Isonychia hatch. This is that little bicolor. Legs are a couple different colors, so it's pretty easy to identify the Isonychia. One time, I was on a trip to New York. We hit the Catskills. We always try to hit the Catskills over the Adirondacks on the weekend, kind of get away from the people. So anyway, we were fishing the Beaver Kill along about Horse Brook Run. And I'm a sucker to wade across, so I had waded all the way across to the far side of the stream and had fantastic fishing, both on nymphs and dries, all the way up that far side, right across from Horse Brook Run. And I had no idea what was going on, but I was just having so much fun catching them. I was using a Mr. Rapidan dry fly and a March Brown dry fly, and the fish didn't really seem to care. Even used some dark humpies. Well, we went on up and fished in the Adirondacks for about a week or so and came back and hit that same area about a week, 10 days later. And here on the bridge pilings, that bridge, that interstate bridge goes right across below Horse Brook Run, right along those bridge pilings, it was covered with Isonychia shucks. So then I realized why the fishing was so outstanding the few days before that, because those nymphs were coming off like crazy. Now, the green drake, everybody goes crazy about the green drake, and he'll actually overlap in many areas with the March Brown and the Isonychia. Now, the green drake is a monster. I mean, this fly is an honest 12, and if you want to stretch a little bit, you could even call him a 10. Penn's Creek has a good hatch on this. Some of the finest fishing I've ever had, I've had up in the north branch of the Saranac on this and also on the west branch of the All Sable. Those are excellent streams for this green drake hatch. What you want to do on the green drake is just make sure you stay until dark, because the spinners really don't get back till it's almost so dark you can't see what you're doing. And if the term coffin fly is used for the spinner, you catch a couple and you'll see why it's called a coffin fly. It's really a weird looking fly. But the green drake can be very, very heavy. In Virginia, we don't get that heavy a hatch on it. We see some, but not like you do up in the Adirondacks and on Penn's Creek. Down below the tunnel there on Penn's Creek, terrific hatches of green drakes down in there. So that's a good hatch, the coffin fly. You don't have to really lock into any particular hatch insect there that you're trying to match. The dry fly that I like on there would be something like the Irresistible in about a size size 12, because you're fishing so late in the evening. You really want something that's going to hold up. There are a lot of coffin fly patterns around, and they are excellent. But I want something that's going to hold up pretty well and catch a lot of fish without me having to change it in the dark. Now, at the same time all these dry fly games are going on, don't overlook your nymphing game. For instance, I have to remember the time on Penn's Creek. I was in hopes of getting the green drake hatch, but I was still too early in the day. And that heavy water right down below the tunnel there below Poe Paddy is just loaded with big cobblestones, old basketball size on up. Well, that's big nymph water. So I put on a Bitch Creek nymph. I put a Bitch Creek nymph on in through there, and I was fishing it with old Charlie Brooks's technique. That's that thing I call swing nymphing, which basically you're running your nymph down the bottom and water out there probably chest deep. Now, what you're doing on that, I know I've touched on this before, but it is extremely important, so I'm just going to hit the highlights on the Brooks method, or what I call swing nymphing, which I'm using a floating line. And in there in Penn's Creek, I can definitely use a floating line. But what you're doing on that, you're casting upstream, up and across at about a 45-degree angle, maybe a 20-foot cast. First, you're going to let that nymph sink down deeply, then run it right back along the stream bottom with a tight line to it so you can feel that strike. You're actually fishing the water immediately beside you. So your first cast would go upstream like that. Second cast would be at the same angle, but maybe 5 feet further up, a little bit 5 feet longer cast, I should say. And then that's letting you cover a little bit different water out in front of you. And that running those big Bitch Creek nymphs or big casual dress, when I say big, I'm talking about size 8, down through heavy boulder water like that is fantastic if the fish aren't really locked into the hatches. So don't overlook the big nymph game and or the streamer game. The streamer can be outstanding. One day on the Saranac, Willie Downey and I were fishing the north branch of the Saranac, and Willie had a Shanks White streamer on in a size 8, and he saw some disturbance, but he'd been fishing the water with it and doing fairly well. But he saw some disturbance back in the shallows and shot that streamer back there, and he caught the biggest brown he's ever caught in his life. But you can use the streamer to fish down and across below the riffles, down and across below, down in the deep pools, and just basically cover the water. Now, I must admit, once the flies get going, those fish are willing to look up. I'd rather fish dries. But don't ever overlook that. Streams like the Jackson, the Androscoggin, those streams are really good. Ilkana Lefty down in North Carolina is an excellent stream to fish with streamers. Chateauguay. I love to fish that lower part of the Chateauguay down close to the Canadian line with streamers. Now, the streamers I use there would probably be something like Johnny Bailey Spuddler, the Arali Strength, Betsy Streamer, that kind of thing. I'd cover them from size 8 and 10. Very seldom I go any bigger than an 8 here on the East Coast. I will in some of the streams out west, but not here. Now, in fishing streamers, if you've not played this game a whole lot on the medium-sized stream, the way you handle the fly is fairly important. What I do is way downstream. I cast down and across at about a 10-degree angle downstream. Get tight to the fly right away, and then I'll strip it back across the stream about 6 inches every 5 seconds. Moving downstream, 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 and I'll cover every bit of the water. This is an extremely effective technique down the Jackson and here in Virginia, and cover everything. Now, strike detection, you're really going to try to feel these strikes, feel that strike. Now, in feeling them, you want to make sure you've got the rod tip pointed downstream to the point where the line is leaving the water. Do you get that? You're pointing the rod tip downstream where the line is leaving the water. What this enables you to do is to feel that strike just the very second he hits it. Then I set the hook with both my line hand and the rod hand and the rod. And that is a very effective. All right, now let's get back on the hatches. All right, coming in on the tail end of the March Brown, we've got the Gray Fox and the Light Cahills. Now, the Gray Fox is seldom a very heavy hatch. It's a kissing cousin. It's one in that Stenonema family with the March Browns, but it's they're good hatches, and the Light Cahill can be heavy in some areas. Plain Light Cahill dry fly and a 14-16, a Gray Fox dry and a 14-16, they're excellent patterns. Real good friend of mine, John Snyder, always fished the Light Cahill hatch way on into the time the duns were coming off using the Light Cahill nymph. In fact, sometimes John would fish the nymph all the way through the hatch, so that is very, very effective. But on the sulfur hatch that follows that, that can be affected. We mentioned Penns Creek earlier. Penns Creek has a terrific sulfur hatch. That was one of Vince Marinaro's favorite places to fish the sulfur, and certainly Vince knew what he was talking about. But the sulfur hatch is a great hatch. Again, not quite as drastic as the Green Drake in Stay in the Dark, but I've had some fantastic fishing on the sulfur hatch. When it was so dark, I really couldn't see what I was doing very well. The duns start coming off about, depends on the stream, anywhere from 2 hours to maybe 3 to 4 hours before dark. And then the spinners are going to come back, let's say the last hour of daylight if you're lucky, and in some cases that turns into the last 20 minutes of daylight. My favorite patterns on that hatch are Ed Shanks sulfur, and then, of course, the Murray sulfur. We saw a lot of those in both 16s and 18s. I usually use a 16 earlier in the hatch and go to the 18 as the hatch thins out a little bit. But it's not at all unusual to have the sulfurs on the water for probably 4 weeks anyway. Now, overlapping this, you get that little yellow stonefly, a little isoperla stonefly, and that can be fantastic. And like the sulfurs, the little yellow stonefly can last a long time. I mean, it's not at all unusual to have 6 weeks of little yellow stoneflies. I like the air pattern on that because I like a delicate fly, and the Murray sulfur on the little yellow stonefly on that is a great fly to use. And I fish both the sulfur and the little yellow stonefly in a size 16 and 18, but I go to 18 later in the year, and I fish all that on 6X. But those are great hatches to use. Some of you have asked me about tackle. Here on the East Coast, on these larger streams, I use a 9-foot 4-weight that has a delicate tip. As I said, I want to be able to go down to 6X when I need to with these little flies. Out in the Rockies, I'm going to go to a 9-foot 6-weight out there. But again, I want to ride with a delicate tip because I occasionally will go down to 6X on that. Now, if you have any questions on any of this, give me a ring. I'm headed in the hospital to have a knee replaced, so we may be held up for several weeks on that. I'm going to try to do a cast next week, and then we'll go into the smaller streams a little later in the season. But I might be knocked out for several weeks before I can get back to you on this. But if you have any questions, just please call us, and I'll be glad to help you on anything we can. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburg, Virginia. Thank you very much.